And then just before we get started, I just want to let you know that the Tudor Manor, the 1714, I believe it's Comav, that was my overzealous and wishful thinking. It's actually not on the agenda tonight. I apologize. So we just have one item and I believe he's here. So anyway, sorry
no
about that.
No problem. I just need folks to just bear with me a little bit today. My script is not as pristine as usual. So I'll be going a little bit slower just so that I'm not missing anything.
Okay.
So the time now is 4:02, and I am calling to order the April 8th hearing for the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing. Present today are John Bly, Sharon Cayley, Helen Pillsbury, and myself, Nikita Burns, and staff member Nicholas. I believe Kristen is out today.
Correct.
Or Kirsten, I'm sorry. Today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law. We are conducting this meeting online to ensure the public access to the deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. The public may now access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks and using the hashtag #ABApril8thHearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the meeting. So the first item on the agenda today is a design review hearing. The application is application number 210764 for AB 14 Mount Hood Road. The applicant is Jacob Simmons, and the proposed work is to replace all vinyl windows with wood windows. Are there any recusals from the commission members? There are no recusals, then members of the public are reminded to just please hold your comment until the comment period. Oh, so sorry. It expanded onto my screen.
That's me. Oh. Sorry about that.
Not a problem. Give me one moment. And where was I? So I'm going to hand it over. Is Jacob present?
Hi. I'm sorry. Sorry, my Wi-Fi is all messed up. I had to join on my phone. So my name's Justin Efron. I'm the project manager for this project for 14 Mount Hood. So I'm working for the owner here. So I'll be doing the presentation. I'll be going through, if that's okay.
Great.
So let's see. Yeah, do you mind going to the next slide here and I'll walk you guys through it? So this is just the front exterior view
of the existing building. Basically what we're looking to do here is all the existing windows are replacements from what the original windows were. So those are all vinyl windows that we don't believe represent what the original building looked like. So the building the one on the right side of the screen there in that picture, that's what we think the original building looked like based on research in the neighborhood. We reached out to Landmarks and checked with the city archives, and we weren't able to find any pictures of what the original building looked like. So based on, it's kind of our best guess based on the neighborhood. So if you go to the next slide, I think. So this is just another picture. So sorry, one more slide. So this is kind of showing what we are proposing to do. So in order to get the windows back to what they used to look like, or what we presume they used to look like based on our evidence. So this graphic kind of shows where it says A, those will be 9/1 front install muttons. And then with the 2x4 transom over the top. So that's the majority of the windows. Then those C down the middle, those will be double hung 9 over 1 front install muttons on either side. And then just that first level, just those D windows, the ones marked D will be a little different. So those will be double hung wood windows with 2 over 3. And then E will be just single pane. Sorry, those are, I think it's, they're supposed to be double pane. We haven't actually ordered them yet. But we're planning on double pane just for energy efficiency, yep. But those will be just side by side windows.
Great.
So I think that covers it on my end.
All right, great. Thanks, Justin. So yep. Commissioners, I'm going to hand it over to you in just a second here, but if you take a look at my staff notes, there's a little bit, the applicant did get in touch with me prior to submitting an application, trying to figure out exactly what these windows should look like. It's a little unclear as to what the configuration should be. We were able to find some properties that were similar in architectural style and design in Brookline on Beacon Street. And you'll see those photos in my staff comments, that those windows have sort of a transom at the top with a, it looks like it's like a 2x6 light window with 1x1 windows on the bottom, I believe it is. I don't know. So I guess today we just have to figure out what we need to do, we would like to do with these windows here. So with that, I can turn it over to you, Nikita.
Sure. So I guess we will open it up to the commission first for discussion and questions.
Can I ask a question?
Go for it.
Ashley, can you put that the slide with the specifications back up?
Mm-hmm.
So is the proposal that like on the top? Top story there with the B and the kind of tan B over the red A. Is that proposing that there would be a 2x4 transom over a 9x1 window? Like the B part would be a 2x4 transom, and yeah. Then the A part, then you have a 2x4 segment, and then like a 9 small panes over 1 pane below that?
Yeah, that's what this is proposing, which was based on kind of what we saw in the neighborhood. And
so that's what I was wondering. That seemed like, this is sort of busy to me, but do we actually find some examples of having like a transom with a, and then having a nine over one below that? That just seems like a lot of small panes, but I'm just wondering, is that a Yeah, do you find any historical, precedent for that, or any existing examples?
I agree. I think that's a lot going on. I don't have the addresses off the top of my head, but I believe based on my colleague drove around the neighborhood to try to get an idea of what the original look would have been. Unfortunately, I don't have the addresses in front of me. That was what he said to the best of his knowledge, his most educated guess. That's what it would have been. Obviously, we're open to hear what you guys would recommend. So if that doesn't work, I get it.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Helen, it does seem somewhat overwhelming to have.
Yeah. A lot of small pains.
Yeah.
Maybe we could find an example of that, but it seems not typical. Transoms often in the neighborhood are like on the ground level. And then a lot of times the stories, not always, but a lot of times the floors above that might have 6x1 or, sometimes it's just 1x1, sometimes 6x1, but the transoms often tend to be with that extra level of detail at the ground level and then not repeated through, with the upper levels. I'm almost wondering, I realize we're speculating here, but the windows with the transoms now, with those vinyl windows, those are transoms and then over like a 1x1.
Yeah,
correct. I'm seeing that correctly. And I almost wonder if they were trying to maybe the original would have been a 9/1, but trying to give it some little bit of detail, put a transom in there with a 1/1 to try to make up for the fact that they weren't putting in a 6/1 or a 9/1 or something in the main pane. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I'm speculating to
even suggest that. And Helen, I was talking with the applicant about this property this morning, and my first impression was that can you see this map on the street view?
Yeah.
Okay. My thoughts originally when I was looking at these, they almost looked like glass like blocks.
Yeah.
But it does appear when you look at them in a little bit closer that they are in fact, it's a grid of windows. Mm-hmm. So that's a 2/4. And then I know it's outside of our purview, but I just want to show you the properties in Brookline, which are very close to this property. So they probably either have the same architect or were built around the same period.
Yeah, that was actually my other question. Do we know the architect of this building?
No, it's not listed on the...
Because I'm just saying, if we knew the architect, we could see if we could find any other buildings of his.
Yeah, that's a good question, but it's not listed in Macris. Unfortunately, this is one of the buildings where there's very few pieces of information available for. Here we go right here. So when we go, this is Brookline right here, keep in mind. Mm-hmm. But you can see...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How similar the architecture is.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have this pane of... So it looks like the thinner windows have the 2/4... I don't know if those have a storm window in front of them. But you can, the further you go down the street, there's actually, you can see that, let's get, see if we can get, oh, perfect. See, all of these have a very similar style.
Right, but they're all like, the transoms are 8 panes, like 2x4, whatever you,
exactly.
whatever you phrase that. But then they're over 1/1.
Correct.
Like it's not over 9/1 or 6/1 or something.
Yeah, and I think that's what the pane configuration should be. It should be, now that we're kind of examining this, I think it should be the 2/4 over 1/1.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that Justin and everybody else would be open to that option because it's probably cheaper. Yeah. So this is a bad example here because these are obviously vinyl, but they're not in Boston, so we won't comment on those.
right.
But
even the vinyl ones, they seem like, in that case, they seem like they were trying to fit in. I mean, regardless of the material, it seems like style-wise, they were going along with what was elsewise on that, in that row there of like the original windows, which is the, 2/4 over 1/1.
Agreed.
Okay.
So then the only other question I would pose to the commission is, so this window here is an interesting window. And I'm wondering if these would also be 1/1, these thinner windows, and then they would have the 2/4 transom windows up here, but then what happens here and here is my question.
Oh, they, you know, Nick, they look like they'd be so out of scale with everything else that to add muntins to the thinner side windows, it's more than just overcompensation. It's like a bad reenactment.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rather torn. I like the transoms with the muntins for the upper windows.
Mm-hmm.
For this window with the two side lights essentially, and there's we're covering just number 14 Mount Hood Road. We're not covering
correct
any other address. I would opt for the simpler solution. I think it would be less disruptive.
Agreed.
And then there is also the distinction of the other, it's not it's a first floor. It's not a ground floor. The first floor window with the arch around the lintels.
Uh-huh.
That's another very distinctive feature. You don't want to, or we don't want to add more embellishments. It takes away from the stained glass effect for one thing.
Yes.
But it also tends to compromise what we're trying to preserve.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm thinking, Sharon, what do you think? It may be something similar to what we see here, but I think the question still remains, what do we do with this top side light here, right here? Should that be six lights?
I would say no, but I'd like to hear from the other commissioners. Given that it looks like it's like a 9x11 inch window.
Mm-hmm.
If you put muntins in that, you're it's almost lost. It's better to have it as a single pane, I think.
Right, and I think when we get into the idea of why muntins exist in the first place was because they were not able to make glass panes that big earlier on in window pane construction.
Yeah. So
I would imagine that when this building was built, circa 1900, 1910,
mm-hmm.
it had large enough machines to make this pane of glass.
Yeah, by that point, they had perfected glass making to where they could do a good size window.
Right.
Yeah.
Helen, what do you think?
Yeah, that's actually true. I'm thinking about my own building, which is from 1910 with the bay windows. And I've seen historic photos of my building. And I believe they were 1/1.
Okay.
Even the large bay window panes, I think, were 1/1. And these 9/1 here, I mean, those are replacement windows there.
Yeah.
So we don't know. It's just hard to know if when they put those replacement windows in, were they trying to mimic what had been there before?
Yeah. But again, there were no requirements to do so
when
these were installed, likely. So
mm-hmm.
that's why we're here.
Well, I do want to throw in, my building was built in 1913. I have a bay window, but it's the side windows are larger than the example here, and they had the six lights over one solid pane. We have no transom though, and it was the original wood, I'm pretty sure, because of the condition when I replaced them. So they could have been six lights, but we're talking about two different things here. The transoms is one issue.
Yep.
And the rest of the windows are, I would like to treat them separately because it's the scale of the windows is so different. So getting back to the transom for the moment, I would opt for leaving the transom without the lights, and the larger windows, the center, the one you've got your focus on right now.
Mm-hmm.
If it had the 6/1, I would keep the 6/1, but the side lights, I'd leave them bare.
Okay. And I think we're leaning towards, or Helen, correct me if I'm wrong, we're leaning towards keeping these as 1/1 windows. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, lacking any documentary evidence that they really originally would have been 9/1, it just seems like a lot of panes of glass, a small, it kind of breaks it up. It's it's hard to tell, but mm-hmm. it just doesn't seem as, and maybe to our, eye is different than the eye of the person who had been doing that originally, but.
Sure.
Do we know the window we're looking at right now that originally sort of looked like black glass blocks? We know that actually is a transom there.
Yes.
Do we know if that's original or if that's replacement?
It's hard to say.
I guess just as far as looking at the transom part of that, it does have on the side lights, above the side light windows, it does have the four segments.
Yeah, and the muntins do look very, very delicate, and that's a clear indicator that the wood is old and subsequently that they're likely original to the structure.
For the transom, for those wide windows with the narrower side windows, I think you would want the smaller side segments of the transom to be have those to be the, have the four segments.
Yep.
Because otherwise, I think it would be sort of odd to just have the middle segment with the two, so the 2x4, and then the side segment just be a single window. It's hard to tell, but it looks like we might be looking at an original configuration on that one that you just said that the wood is delicate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, it seems like maybe that's a clue to follow that.
Okay.
Good point. Yeah.
I think that's a great point. And, you know, if we ever discover any more evidence about this in the future, they could always be repaired in the future and we can keep this stuff in the file. Sorry, my dog has opinions too.
It's okay.
Yeah. So I think that is correct. So Helen, just to recap, if my notes are correct, we're thinking the four panes of glass here.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2x4, and then these will all be 1x1s. Is that correct?
That seems like, you know, from what we can try to reconstruct.
Yeah, and then with these windows, it would be the 2x4 over the 1x1.
Right.
Okay, good. And then in terms of color, of the metal, so or whatever, these will be wood. I think Justin indicated.
Yes.
What color do we want these? So we can get a good example. Do we want a light color or do we want a dark color? My thoughts are it's probably more historically accurate to be darker.
Yeah.
Do
any of those windows on Beacon Street, were any of them original that we could get any?
From what I can see, they do look like they're wood and they do look like they're original and they're all dark.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The white just sort of pops out. I mean, maybe it's probably because it's vinyl.
Yeah. But, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Justin, this building is owned by one owner. Is that correct? Or is there's you guys are property managing?
All of 14 is one owner.
Perfect. So we'll have a uniform look on this property.
Exactly.
Ah, good.
So would we prefer to do a darker color? Is there any specific direction, maybe brown, that they can submit samples to me and I can run it by you if I feel?
I think that would be the most practical route. As long as we all agree on dark as opposed to light, I think we can leave the details in your hands.
Fair. Okay.
I agree.
Okay. And then in terms of the garden level windows, we're okay with 1x1 being just very simple and basic.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Cool. It sounds like there may be a motion, but I believe we need public comment first. Nikita and John, do you have any questions?
My main question is, you know, with all these, since there are various types of updates to the details for the different types of windows, does that change the staff notes?
I think that's a great question, Nikita. I think now that we've kind of hashed out all of this information, we can identify the proper window pane configuration. And if you're concerned about making an emotion,
I am. Yes, there was a lot of stuff that just went back, and I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah, I can walk you through the motion, but I think either Helen or Sharon might have an idea of how to word that. That motion.
Then I will leave it in their capable hands.
Okay.
I will open it up to public comment. So give me one moment. Mm-hmm. Okay. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at AberdeenACDC at boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag AB April 8th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comments related to the topic under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comments. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment that's already been made. And public comment is now open.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm just double checking all of my resources. I do not see any hands raised in the chat. There's nothing on Twitter. And in terms of email, there are no emails. So we can close the public comment for this application.
Public comment is now closed, as Nick said. We'll move on to the voting portion of this item. Is there any motion from a commissioner?
I'll help do the motion if you want, if you'd like. So I think what we were saying is based on kind of the best we can infer from the historic, you know, examples we had at Brookline, that the at the upper level, there would be a transom with 2/4 and that would be above window panes of 1/1.
Correct.
And then at the, it's really this third floor. And this is also the same configuration in the first floor that's under the stained glass transom, I think, where there's a three-part window.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the third floor and the second floor, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Right, both. So that would be a transom. The center transom would be the 2/4.
Yep.
The side transom would be like 2/2.
Correct. Yep.
And then the both the center window and the, what we might call the side light windows would be 1/1.
Okay. Perfect. Great.
And then so that's the wide windows. And then on the first floor where the keystone is, that does not have a transom. We didn't really discuss that. Would that just be 1/1?
Let's take a look.
I'm sorry to interrupt in the middle of the motion, but I'm just realizing that, like, right now that, you know, it shows it as being like 9/1 on that window with the keystone.
Yeah. It looks, so we're talking about this one right here, right?
Yeah.
So when you look over here, it does look like, and look how delicate that looks. Look at that. So I think this is the answer, Helen.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
See how delicate that looks?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's definitely the answer.
So we can also, then we'd also have a transom at that level.
Yep.
With, and now we'd be talking about that being a 6/1 for that narrow window.
Right. But do we think that it should be 1/1 considering that little light transom on top?
The transom would be 6/2 rather. I said that wrong. 3/2.
Yeah. 2/3. Yeah.
2/3. Right. 2/3 yeah. Over a 1/1 window.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And is that, when we get to the window.
Which one?
Now, the property we're actually considering is one of the shrubbery right in front of the
correct.
Window.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Then the window that's with the keystone. Okay, so what we're saying, like the window with the keystone that's on the bay, that's on the round bay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, would that also be
with yes, a transom? If you look higher, it's got the transoms, yeah.
But it doesn't have a keystone though, is what Helen's saying, and maybe there's a variation there. Let's look over here. So we saw that one, and then we have this one.
Right.
Look at that.
So that was also like, that's a slightly wider window. So
yep.
That would be a transom of 4/2.
I see, yes.
Over a window of 1/1.
Yeah.
These windows are all different sizes, like a specification for each one almost practically. And I mean.
Yeah, so it looks like
that one's 3/2. But the window on the, if it's on the rounded bay would be 4x2 transom.
Yep.
Both of which over one over one is as far as the main panes would be concerned.
I would agree with that 100%. Justin, and I'll get this to you in a letter in case you're not fully comprehending what we're saying, because it's it can get a little complicated.
I'm keeping up with most of it, but yeah.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And then cool. So I think that's, I'm glad you identified that, Helen. And then what about the garden level or basement windows? So this is the neighboring property. And it looks like they were at least paying attention to some sort of detail. It looks like these aren't original. I don't think, because you can see where the exterior applied mutton bar has fallen off, which is clear indicators that they're probably after 1970.
You know, I really doubt that when this building was built, that any elaboration of this multiple muntins at the garden level, I don't think they would have done that, because at the time that most of these buildings are built, the garden level was considered useful for utilities, the HVAC, all of that. The muntins looks like a 20th century addition. I wouldn't hold the owner of number 14 to that. I would, we had discussed the garden level 1/1.
Yep.
I would vote to leave it at that, but I would like to hear from the other commissioners.
Can we see any, so that was the neighboring building that we were just talking about being
pre-designed.
Yes.
What does this, it's hard to see because of the shrubbery, what does this building currently have? Yeah.
It looks like there are casement windows or like a side-by-side type
thing. Yeah.
Casement, I'm sure that is not an original style.
But I guess we have to think about the actual functionality of, are these actually apartments in there as opposed to just basement rooms? And like, do we actually need to think about functionality of someone actually being able to open, have a window that they can actually open?
Yeah.
For airflow. If it were just basement windows, there's a utility space down there. It could almost just be a single pane that was just be, you know, wouldn't even be necessarily have to be able to open it. But it looks like there's curtains. It looks like those actually might be apartments at that level.
Yeah. I do want to caution you in trying to understand the interior needs and motives, because then we can get into the slippery slope of applicants saying, well, we need this to make this room accessible. And so we should be focused specifically on the exterior architectural aesthetic. Okay. As a matter of protocol. So I would think that these lower windows would be 1/1, but then these smaller windows, they could be kind of technically be a casement window where they pop out or in. I don't think sliders would be appropriate.
Right. No. I guess that's just my question is, I understand what you're saying about not being concerned about the use because we're really only concerned about the exterior, but do we nonetheless still have to allow for a style that would open as opposed to a style that doesn't even open, it's just a pane of glass that, you know.
Yeah, I see. I see what you mean, Justin. What do you know what these rooms are for?
I'm not sure.
Okay, that's
what is in those rooms. No,
that's fine. I would say as long as they all look the same when they're closed, I would think that would be our main concern. But yeah,
maybe. What we could say is just a simple, you know, single pane window. And depending on the interior needs and the needs for opening or not opening, that they might be able to come back to you, Nick, for just final decision on.
Sure.
On style, just to make sure, that's that once they, when, while they're meeting their, you know, yeah, functionality needs, that it's meeting.
Okay.
The
I can have them submit the final drawings whenever they're ready to do that. That can be a contingency of the approval.
Okay, now I'm sorry. We were like in the middle of doing this like really long, complicated motion. And then we realized, I think we realized there was a few things we actually hadn't gone through. So do you need me to kind of start that over, Nikita?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, and should we just go from the, which way should I go, from the top down?
Start from the top down, yeah.
Okay, so the top floor, which I think is the, really is the fourth floor. The top floor would be 4/2 transoms over 1/1 windows.
Correct.
And I believe all of those are the same width, and that would apply to all of them. Okay, at the next level down, for the windows on the round, that's again the 4/2 transom with the 1/1 windows. Mm-hmm. But for the wide tripart window on the second level, or it's really the third floor, I guess.
Right.
The ground floor. That would be, the main windows will be 1/1, mm-hmm, but the transom will be in the center. It's 2/4.
Right.
And, or 4/2, which way do you say that? And the side windows are 2/2.
So it's perfect. And then next level, would be the garden level, right? Yeah.
And the third floor and the floor with the transom, the stained glass transom, those are actually the same. Like that would again be, mm-hmm, the,
yeah, these are the same, right?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And then garden level are 1/1 on the the bay,
right,
and then casement windows with final drawings to be submitted, right, to staff for.
But just sorry to go back to the main like first floor level,
okay,
where the arch, you know, and the transom is. That narrower window is 3/2.
Correct.
It's hard to see because of the shrubbery. Is a transom, mm-hmm, of 3/2 over a window of 1/1.
So this one,
I believe we figured that out from looking, yep, at the other.
Correct.
Other, the neighboring building.
Yes.
So, do we have, now have we specified every, all the different?
Yes.
I think we'd also need to specify the color.
Okay, and then the color is a dark color. That will be reviewed by staff.
Dark.
Yes.
Reviewed by staff. Okay.
I second the motion. Okay.
Perfect.
So now that we have a second, I will now take the roll call vote. John?
I'm in favor.
Yes. Sharon?
Aye.
Helen?
Aye.
And Nikita? Aye. The application, 21.0764 has been approved.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right, Justin, I'll get you your approval letter in a couple days and you're good to go.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so we can move on to the second item on the agenda. And I do apologize, I have a cat sitting right next to me and she's smacking me in the face. And
we can sympathize.
We Sharon and I are both cat ladies, so mm-hmm, we consider that excellent.
It's great unless I'm in the middle of a Zoom and she wants attention.
They know.
They do. They definitely know. So the second item on the agenda is administrative review and approval. So let me just pull up. So the first application would be 210765, and that would be for 4 Cheswick Road. And the it would be for replacing all the windows in the unit 37 with 7 6/1 aluminum clad windows with 7 6/1 wood windows. Let's see. And so that's the proposed work. Are there any recusals from the commission members? Members of the public will be asked to please hold your comment until the comment period for each application. And so there is, because this is administrative approval, is it just discussion right at this point?
Yeah, so we can so basically just list all of the agenda items to the record. Okay. So basically you're gonna read off all of the agenda items.
Okay, great.
And then we'll have a group discussion and then public comment and then make a motion.
Okay. So the second application is 210766, and it is for 5357 Strathmore Road. At all facades, spot cut and rejoint, repoint masonry. Mm-hmm. The third application is 210767 8 Cheswick Road, replace all windows in unit 46, replace 8 double hung 6/1 aluminum clad windows. And the fourth is 210768 157 Kilsyth Road. I hope I said that okay. Replace asphalt shingles, asphalt shingle roof in kind. And so we can open it up for discussion.
Good job.
I just have one, and this concerns 5357 Strathmore. Mm-hmm. Repointing the masonry, there was no mention of the color of the masonry in kind. Is that safe to assume that?
Correct, yes. I can add it into the approval if it makes you feel better.
Yes, I would like you to do that.
I will do that. I'm happy to do that.
We have had cases where they painted masonry with that.
Yeah.
I'm noting it right now.
I wanted to ask a question. I actually spoke to Nick about this yesterday, but I wanted to bring this topic up so that it'll be on the record. Because there's 4 Chiswick Road and 8 Chiswick Road are on this agenda for replacing windows. And those are part of the same building with 2 separate entrances, part of the same building. And so my question was, you know, will they be uniform and the same window style, because that's kind of one of the one of the goals of the district as far as those larger multifamily buildings, the brick buildings, is, you know, there's usually not much change to the facade, but the windows can be a mishmash over time, you know, replaced differently. So one of the things we try to, you know, in moving forward is to have over time get to uniform window style. So I just want to let Nick comment on that.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Helen. So this is really, as Helen mentioned, an important topic that we often have to deal with. So the rule of thumb that we've been kind of following is, and I went back and did a little bit of research when this first came up a couple of years ago. And essentially, we have folders for all of these individual buildings that are large apartment buildings so that we can ensure that we're providing all of the same window, same style, same manufacturer, and same color to all the individual condominium owners so that there's consistency on the facade. So anytime that you hear someone not sure as far as what should be installed in their units, they should refer to their condo association. However, it is our understanding that there are many condo associations in Aberdeen that do not keep track of that. And, you know, we won't get into telling boards how to run their boards, but we'll help them a little bit by keeping track of what should be on what building. That would mean that when someone applies for window replacement in a larger unit and they're the first ones, that they will in fact be the guinea pig for their building. And whatever we select for them is the one that will be selected going forward. So we'll of course make sure that it's appropriate for the architecture, but you know, it's there in the background. So it's kind of an additional service that we provide because we feel it's important in helping keeping the integrity of the neighborhood because if the property owners don't, you know, we kind of have to. So
yeah,
that's kind of what Helen and I discussed yesterday. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Okay.
Were there any other questions from the commission?
Well, one last question, and then I think I'll let it go. 157 Kilsyth, the asphalt single shingle roof,
yeah,
in kind. Do you get a sample of that?
Yes, so I have the sample shingle. I don't have the physical sample because it's at City Hall and I only see the electric version, electronic. Yeah. But yes, okay. Yeah. We get a sample and then we get a the name of the brand and color that goes on file. So obviously with many of these properties, we would prefer slate, but you know, many of these properties have since swapped out slate for shingles. And as much as we would like to, we would prefer them to go back to slate, but we know it's cost prohibitive and we can't make someone go back to slate. So
yeah, okay.
We do keep that on file.
All right. I'm prepared to make a motion to accept or approve all of these as presented, subject to the final review of staff.
I just, before the motion, do we have to open it up for public comment for these or?
Sorry.
No, it's. I just wanted to make sure because I like motions. But, so we'll just hold off for one moment, Sharon. I'm just going to read the public comment piece. So members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, please press *9 to raise your hand, and you can send your question to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks using the hashtag April 8th hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. Please keep your comment related to the topic under the purview of the commission. Each member of the public will have 1 minute to address their concern. Please state your name and address followed by your comments. If someone has already spoke to your point, please state your name and address and indicate that you concur with the comment already mentioned. And public comment is now open.
Perfect. So there are no comments in the app. There are no comments in Twitter. And there are no comments via email, so we can close public comment.
Perfect. So public comment is now closed, and we will move on to the vote. Is there a motion from a commissioner?
I make a motion to accept application 210765, 210766, 210767, and 210768 as presented, subject to the final review of staff.
I second that motion. So let's see. I will now take the roll call vote. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And Nikita? Yay. The motion is approved. The applications, Nick, do you want me to like read every application again?
No. Oh my gosh, no. No. You only have to do it one time. Yeah.
Okay, great. The applications are approved.
Perfect. And then next would be the public hearing minutes from January 14th of 2021.
Great. Let's see. So do we have, I'd like to make a motion to for the ratification of it was January 14th, right?
Correct. Yep.
January 14th, 2021 public hearing minutes. Do we have a second?
Question first before we do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, we had that discussion with the owner of 1954 Commonwealth Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And we recommended them doing some kind of a plan, like a, I can't think of the right word for that now, but like to shoring things up and securing the windows and
Yeah, a mothball plan.
That's a good word. Did we present that to them? Like, did you send them any kind of letter to, like, how does, I meant to follow up and ask about this afterwards, because how does that get implemented? How do we, like, actually make that owner, you know, follow up on any of that? I mean, I walked by there yesterday, and there were a couple, few days ago rather, and you couldn't see that anything different had happened. So I just wasn't sure, like, what the next steps on that would be, and if any, and how that would proceed.
Yeah, Helen, these are great questions. So so we do include all of that information on the approval letter when we send it to the applicant. So it's all in writing, and it's all listed out for the applicant's records. In terms of enforcing everything, that is the tricky part. So most of the time we get applicants who like to, you know, stay in the good graces of the community, which the commission is a part of, and they will comply with any of the violations or requests during the permitting process. If they don't comply, that's when it gets a little bit more complicated and they're not willing to comply, because then we have to start a process that involves getting our city attorneys involved, as well as filing a motion with the Superior Court and the Municipal Court, I believe. I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. But and then we can, by court order, make them do what we ask them to. Part of that specific property, Helen, I did indicate that the property must be maintained and secured for the duration of a pre-construction and construction, as well as post-construction. So it's written in there. We have it on paper, which means it's enforceable if we ever get to court. Does that answer your question?
But do they have any time frame with which they need to actually implement that plan? Are they actually doing anything, as far as you know?
Yeah, so the time frame, it's anywhere in between the time it's approved and 2 years when the actual approval expires, if they have not filed for their building permit. Once they file for their building permit, our approval is good for the duration of that building permit until it expires or is closed out. So other than us politely reminding that they have obligations in terms of the Historic Commission, that's really all we can do.
Okay.
Any other concerns, Helen?
Just, I guess it's still not clear to me that they'll necessarily go ahead and do anything.
In theory, yes, you're correct. If they choose to do nothing, then they can do nothing. We can issue them a violation for anything that they said they would do and they did not do it. And then, you know, constant reminders that you will be held accountable, considering that we included a clause in the approval that said this property must remain secure from weather and security elements. So that will put us in a position when they come before us because they have to demolish it. We now have the leverage to say, okay, well, you did not do what we asked, which was secure the building from weather and security issues. And now we're going to make you reconstruct the building exactly as it was before. So not saying that would happen, but we do have leverage legally to do stuff.
The architect actually seemed very on board with the idea of putting together a plan to secure it, but he doesn't have the authority to go ahead and do that without the owner actually.
Right. And additionally, if you remember, there were some very vocal neighbors of this project.
Right. Yeah.
I would think that if things were continuing to go south, that they would get in touch with me, because they were very vocal at the hearing when they were presenting this, as well as before the hearing. They were emailing me and calling me about the condition of the property. So, we'll have to rely on good Samaritans to let us know if there's anything suspicious or concerning that's going on there.
Okay.
Excellent. Any other comments or questions before we move on to, well, I didn't necessarily, we didn't ratify the notes yet. Did we go through everything? Wait, so John, I'll take a roll call, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And Nikita, yay. The meeting notes have been ratified.
Who seconded the minutes?
Wait, oh my God, did somebody not second it? I see I'm all messed up today. Okay. I might have made the motion and seconded my own
stuff. Okay. Can we have someone to second it, please?
I'm happy to second it.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay.
Okay. Now, so staff updates. I just went over some of the things that are occurring now. I'm assuming you all got our commissioner handbooks that we sent out. Did everyone get them?
No.
Okay. It was through a link. I can resend it. It's no big deal.
Oh, link. Okay. Okay.
Yep. So it basically has everything you probably already have. It's just, important contact information, which is my contact info and all of your contact info, all the rules and regulations of the district, the study report, the enabling legislation, the bylaws, and handling challenging constituents, open meeting law, as well as conflict of interest. So it's all just in a little booklet for you. And then, obviously with our branding, we'll get you a physical copy once we're back in the office. But in the meantime, you'll have the PDF for your reference.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's basically it. So I guess we would just need a motion to adjourn.
Sure. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
And I second that motion. I will now take the roll call. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
And Nikita Burns, yay.
Perfect.
The meeting is now adjourned.
Great. You did great today.
It's been a pleasure.
Today's a rough day. We're doing redistricting. I'm split between my role and the committee. And so you can imagine that my head is spinning right now. I'm enjoying it, but I've never been this busy in a long, long time since grad school. Mm-hmm. And even then it wasn't this bad. Like I want to come out from exhaustion right now.